before we decide that we're going to grant individual increases to different employees from different departments, I think the county needs to have a solid pay scale or pay plan in place. Whether that's a combination of, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to talking about putting every employee on a step system initially, and then when you get to the end of your step, then you go to a merit. I mean, that gives new employees, I mean, they would know that, you know, if as long as I continue to do the job I'm supposed to do, I'm going to increase or I'm going to step up through this pay scale. But once I get to a certain point, then it really becomes important that I perform above and beyond in order to get the merit. So I think that's the conversation that we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the reality of where we're at with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got a large group of employees that are looking at the changes in the flex benefit as a $6,900 a year pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, whatever we decide to do, it's going to cost the county at least double what we're paying right now for benefits. So, you know, it may be kind of difficult to talk about pay increases at this time. And I know it's tough because, you know, if you're like me and you take that flex cash every month and you're every 2 weeks in your paycheck, it's going to be gone after the first of the year. But on the backside of that, you know, the county's going to be providing a better benefit other than just the cash for people that need the insurance. It's been a great benefit if you didn't need the insurance. Because, you know, that's nice to be able to stick that money in your pocket and spend it, you know, whether you're spending it on medical expenses or you're putting it towards your two daughters' college tuition, that, you know, it helps. But if you're the sole breadwinner in a family and you need that family insurance, if you come to work for Story County, you're going to be taking $1,000 out of your pocket every month to pay for a family plan on top of what the flex is. So.
And I understand, you know, you guys have to look at the whole picture with salaries and everything else. But I just want to be clear that us bringing this forward is not for merit. This is strictly a market-based equalizer, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to bring us up to comparables. And it has nothing to do with the either merit step or flex.
Right, and so what I hear us telling you, or I know at least what I'm saying to you is, that's great, but I want to run through your analysis. I mean, well, you can see firsthand why we love what Alyssa digging into this stuff. She asks great questions. She really digs down to the heart of the matter, and I'm going to want to analyze that. And then I'm going to want to superimpose that over where the county's headed and try to maintain that consistency. So I don't want you to leave here feeling like we don't recognize that there's an issue we've got to deal with. There's an issue we've got to deal with. We've got to dig in and deal with it, and we've got multiple moving parts, as Paul pointed out, to try to get this thing figured out. And so what I would ask is that I would ask first that you let us have our conversation Tuesday, because then we're going to have a better idea of where we're headed on some of this stuff and the time frame on where we're headed on some of this stuff. And then I'd ask that you sit down with Alyssa and share what you have so that she can start to dig further into it and see if her analysis matches up with the analysis you did.
Yep.
But that will help us. I'm viewing it broader than just conservation, because the reality is if we're seeing it in conservation, we're seeing it other places too.
And we are. One of the things that, you know, before we outsourced the compensation study and had that's a broad study. You know, we hadn't done one since 91.
Yeah.
So we did it on a very large scale. We can do it in-house if we have the correct staff to gather the information and data and then really analyze it. I've done it for some department heads, just kind of looked and seen where we're at. There are a lot of things to take into consideration, like, you know, that you don't necessarily think of. With that being said, if we can do some of it in-house, it can be more individualized, not just look at,
right.
You know, we did 40 positions out of the 103 classifications that we had when we did the compensation schedule. 40 is quite a bit. I just recently got one from a county in Nebraska, and they're doing it for all 110 classifications, and they want salary data for that, which is unbelievable, but a lot of work. Anyway, if we can kind of break it down and do it more individualized, either by departments, you know, hey, we're going to look at all this. This week we're going to get the data for everybody in conservation or everybody in the auditor's office or whatever. I think we'll get a better understanding of where we need to go with our compensation schedule versus a we did it on a large scale and then we moved based on that. And we had different options when we came in. We the board took the option to get everybody to the minimum. You know, we did not take the option to place people based on years of service within that range. That was another option we could have taken.
We didn't have the
point.
Money. We didn't have the fiscal resources to do any more than that at that time. We had enough people that were below the minimum that we had to get them to the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wayne, you served where there were a couple years that there were no raises available for employees.
There's a lot of compression.
But it was the first step, Joe. That's a great point. It was the first step, and now we're 3 years down the road, and the reality is we haven't been able to take that second step yet, and that's where we need to get to. And this, for me, is part of that bigger, broader conversation, which I'm sure is not the answer you wanted to hear today, but that's where we are.
Well, I can say from the Conservation Board, we absolutely understand that we don't do this in a vacuum, and this is going to ripple all through the county, whatever happens here. Where we want to just get to is market-driven compensation.
Absolutely.
And then a system to keep it there rather than a, a roller coaster effect of we do this every 5 years.
Correct.
Sort of thing, because then we lose ground in the middle. So I think we're all in the same place, just a matter of getting there.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's a great point. One of the things that we've got to be able to do is we've got to have the staffing level necessary to be able to maintain a true compensation schedule. You got to maintain it at least annually. I mean, you got it. The market changes,
mm-hmm.
and so we've got to dig into this. And I'm really appreciative that you guys brought it forward. A lot of great work in there. I'm gonna be really interested now to see with the work you've done and what Alyssa will put in. And I ask that you be understanding that we've got her running 27 different directions right now. But we're gonna be really interested to see what that looks like when we have that full analysis done. Okay, have we gotten to the now where we've talked about employee related stuff? Do we want to go back and talk about extra help, knowing what you know now, what you didn't know when you walked in the door, what you know now? Do we want to talk about extra help?
Yes.
Okay, let's start there.
I'm just going to represent what we brought forward to you, and I think that. Without, if there's an understanding that if we have turnover with permanent staff and we find ourselves not being able to meet commitments, then if there's that understanding that we can have that dialogue
mm-hmm.
Or how we handle that,
mm-hmm.
then I don't see any need to reflect that different budgeting system in our extra help. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you just and Wayne and Paul, I'm going to ask you to do this as well. You have a commitment from me that we recognize that conservation has a role to do, and we don't expect you to do it short-staffed. And so that means to me, if you have turnover, if you have an open position that you're in the process of filling, but you have work that has to get done during that time, that we need to recognize that, and we need to fund it in the form of extra help. I think there should be a reasonable number in there of what we truly expect to spend without any unforeseen services.
Right.
So there's extra help that you're going to spend even if you're fully staffed.
Right.
The number for me that should be in here.
Right.
And then when we have turnover, and I know it's an extra step to ask from you and the Conservation Board, but then it just means that we get to have a quick little conversation, and it can really be through Alyssa. Hey, we need to get this done, and Alyssa bring it to the board, and the board take action on it.
That sounds fine.
So then with that in mind, where does the extra helpline need to be?
Well, let me tell you about
what page are we on?
I'm looking at 90, and Mike's looking at
93.
Okay.
So let me just tell you some of the changes from last year that we're recommending. First is the addition of... If you're looking at 93, you said?
Yeah. 93 is fine, because then you can take us through position by position.
Yeah.
you look at the line titled Park Aid Natural Resources 2, that is new. That's an additional 2 employees. Now, our rationale with that, for the last several years, we've been contracting with Conservation Corps of Iowa, CCI, to do some work for us. We are proposing in this budget to reduce significantly that contract amount and add it to our staffing amount. That gives us more flexibility essentially allows us to accomplish more work than we were through that contracted provider. So you'll
and that's your contract labor line item?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
You'll see it later. So we reduced that, and then we're increasing this line here. We had roughly 14,000 in contract labor for CCI, and we're asking for nearly 5,000, just shy of 5,000, and then so reducing that by give or take 10, and then adding this this figure here. The reason that it's a little different is just to reflect seasonality and how we hire folks and how long we keep them. That makes up the difference in the.
Alyssa, a question for you. Do we have, what is our policy on provision of benefits right now, Story County? I know federal law now says 1,500 hours or more.
There's a seasonal exemption.
They're seasonal. Yeah.
They come out with, and they're even asking for a part-time 30, you know, a definition. There's some stuff that they haven't given a lot of guidance, and they're asking for different things. 1,560 hours a year is what, but they're seasonal. They've come out and kind of said, you know, seasonal. We understand that. So you don't have, I've done the numbers, they're not getting close to that 1,560 hours that you've had them work. So we're okay in conservation. My main
But we got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, but, and there's a seasonal thing. So we're good there. My question is, have you looked at their wages at all compared to other counties for the like the waterfronts? Are we competitive?
Waterfront, we had no issue with
getting staff.
People
okay.
last year.
Okay. So. You get quite a few applicants, I've noticed, so.
Yeah.
And the waterfront aides are the part-time ones that work at the beach.
At the beach, okay.
Everybody else is.
They should be paying us.
So they get to be out now.
I like your rationale.
The next change in here is a couple lines down, park aid, park ranger. Last year, or I should say this year, we added, we lengthened the season out, our work season by 2 weeks. We didn't do it with this position, and in hindsight, we should have.
Mm-hmm. So when does the season end? Just curious.
Labor Day.
So you're getting, are you seeing issues with staffing?
Well, you can go on the other side of that, too, and earlier in the year.
Well, for the park ranger aid, especially for them to cover the campground,
you needed to lengthen it. You don't have any issues with keeping your staff turnover, going back to school.
If somebody goes back to school, somebody else is willing to stay
Okay. Okay.
But we do have issue with everybody
going back to
staff to
yeah.
school, but we're generally able to shuffle enough to fill those gaps.
Okay.
All right. So I want to make sure I understand what you just went through. So I'm going to say it back, and you tell me if I've got it or not. The park ranger, additional 2 weeks, 80 hours, $760, and that reflects the realities of our work season that we did not put in last year's budget.
Right.
It's just the reality of what we're doing. We need to have it staffed.
Correct.
The Dakins Lake new 9-week for a full season is a new position. The reality is we have Dakins Lake. We need to have somebody to work
it.
We knew there was going to be increased costs there. We expect increased revenue, which you show up top. And so that one makes perfect sense to me. And then back up to the natural resources positions, 2 new positions at 11.7, you're telling me you're pulling 10 out of the contract labor. And it's going to cost us 11.7, but it's given us increased flexibility, and we should get increased workload out of those 2 positions.
Correct.
Right.
I got all that?
Yes.
Right.
I like all of those. I don't have a problem with any of that.
Right.
Is there any recognition of like a returning? Say you got a college student that comes back to work for you for 3 years in a row.
A quarter an hour, yeah.
Every year, or does he get, if he comes back?
Yeah.
They get an increase every year. Oh, don't they get a quarter?
IRBM,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, would you like to have them back? Would it be helpful to have? I mean, you know,
sometimes.
Maybe you want new people.
No, it's good to have. People return.
I think we talked about this one other time, and I'm a prime example. I worked for the city of Nevada for 2 summers, and I got I think 50 cents an hour.
Yeah.
When I came back the second year, and if you got a kid that comes back 3 or 4 years in a row.
I think 3 years is about the max.
Right.
But if you got a kid that comes back that, he was new last year and now he knows how to run the mowers, he knows how to do this and this and this, is he worth another 50 cents an hour for that summer?
My only comment is that if we do that or that's taken under consideration, that we make sure and make that consistent across the county because we have other departments and offices that rehire temporary.
Road department hires seasonal.
And the auditor's office rehires election help.
Right. It makes a lot of sense to me to get to a consistent policy, and I tend to believe that if we bring somebody back, it makes sense to pay them. I understand a quarter an hour is not that much more in the overall scheme of things, but it's more. Yeah. It recognizes that we don't have to invest quite the same amount of training in you, that we've had a chance to see what kind of worker you are, and we've decided we want you back.
Right.
I think I'd like that. I don't think it has a huge impact on anything you're doing here. I mean, I think we're talking in the, low thousands maybe at the most.
Yeah.
If we do it with all your stuff. Wayne and Paul, I've suggested that what they've presented here in extra help makes sense to me. You guys want to weigh in?
Yeah. No,
on
I didn't have any.
I'm good with that.
Problems on this. It was fleshed out very clearly to the staff.
So that means to me we're going to budget the $76,270, but we recognize, and we recognize on the record, that does not account for you needing additional extra help to cover open positions because you don't have the same flexibility you've had in the past to cover that out of salaries.
Okay.
We good with that on the record?
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark down the time. You can point back to this tape if we have to have this conversation. If Markley hit record today.
If I hit it right, yeah.
Okay, so we're done with extra help. Now for me, we're moving down. You can start at Conservation Board if you want to. I'll tell you the first question I had was vehicle fuels and maintenance. But, Mike, if you want to just take us through starting at Conservation Board and move down, that'd be great.
Well, we can skip right down through if you don't have questions. I can go right to...
Well, let's see about Wayne, Paul, or Lisa, or Lucy. Any questions at all on Conservation Board, Shop Supplies, Meyer Scholarship, Environmental Education Supply, or either one of those?
No, they told me at the meeting when they laid this out that I had to be quiet, so... They didn't bring me any food. They didn't bring me any food, but no.
I'll state I have no recollection of that conversation.
You guys tape your meetings. I want to hear it. Start with the general basic portion it's environmental education supply. It looks like you're flipping dollars between the Friends account and the general basic account. Is that right?
No.
They're two different accounts with just the same name. One is the trust fund.
Right. But one's going down and one's going up.
I would say FY16 is going down in trust fund because we had Operation Relief this current year. And we don't project to have that next year. Environmental Ed Supply
is going up for different reasons.
Okay, so those are not tied. Okay.
No. couple of reasons those are going up is events that we're planning, that environmental education supply is going up as events that we're planning for. We also plan for them on the revenue side.
Okay.
So they represented both. We do have, we did shift one item into 16 from 15. That's animal display cases. We had that in this year's budget for $2,400. We were running tight on our budget I asked staff to prioritize and take a look at anything that we have this year that we could move, and this was one of them. The other factor is that in looking at that a second time, it wasn't budgeted for enough in the first place. That was 24 instead of 45. So that's a shift of 24 from 15 into 16. Now, having said that, if we get closer to the end of this year and it looks like we can do it now, then I think then we would. But I'm not ready to make that call yet.
Okay. Yeah, I get really, really hesitant when I start seeing things in the budget year after year after year with either we're missing on the budget for this year or we're putting something in the budget just so we can kick it down the road and make sure we have a little cushion there. And so your explanation makes perfect sense to me. And I appreciate knowing that we missed that by half. You know, we said 2,400 and you expected to be 4,500. I want it to be something we're careful about, though.
Yep. That's all on education supply. Jolene already explained the trust fund difference from re-estimated 69,220 down to the proposed 38,000, and that's that Operation Relief that we discussed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vehicle fuels, we'll make that reciprocal change in the price and adjust that figure.
Yeah. I came up with taking 7,200 out of that line item, if that's acceptable to you guys. I rounded a little bit, but in your favor, not in mine.
Okay. So what did you end up with for the that line?
71,760.
Where the 78 was?
Yeah, 78,960 goes to 71,760.
Okay.
Office supplies is next on my highlighted list.
Office supplies, a couple things here. You've got added 1,500 for another ArcView or GIS license.
Mm-hmm.
That way we'll have GIS capabilities at the main office at Hickory and at McFarland, the shop. That's what that 1,500 does. It adds the McFarland shop.
Okay.
And then the next we had down at 3,000, and that's for the credit cards. That's for setup fees, transaction fees, et cetera, for accepting credit cards. That can be reduced to 2,000.
That can go down to 2,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Didn't we just pay 2,500? Is that an ongoing fee?
We put 250.
Or, oh, you put 250
into the new bank account.
Oh, gotcha.
And this 2,000 is recovered by changes to revenue.
Okay.
Moving down to.
All right, so we took that one to 17,1.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Obviously, we already talked about removing the FEMA funding or expenses on this in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Next note I have is under uniforms and equipment. We're going from a re-estimated this year of $12,850 down to a proposed of $3,820. The difference there is the tough books that we set up with our Rangers. Mm-hmm. That was a significant expense, as well as some Law Enforcement Academy expenses for one of our Rangers.
Okay. So you're moving those. You're going to pay. That's all going to happen in FY15, is what you're saying.
Right.
my next note is under volunteer management.
Let's do health and safety first.
43, 46.
The difference there is primarily in those last three items. The if you're looking at
yep
the right page here with me. Sorry.
Yep. The burn helmets, the chaps, yep, and the burn aheads. That's equipment we don't have.
Helmets right now. We're doing more and more. Well, when we can, weather allowing, we're doing more and more fall burning or woodland burning, and you really need those. We haven't had them. We haven't provided them.
Okay.
We should be providing them.
We should be providing them. That takes care of it for me. Volunteer management.
We're increasing that. We're trying to provide better recognition for our volunteers. I think if you remembered last year, our volunteer hours went up so significantly, went up to the neighborhood of 3 full-time employees from 1 full-time employee. And so we really feel like we haven't done our job in recognizing.
And so you just want $1,600 to be able to get each one of them a little gift.
Yep. Party favor.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Marketing. We need to update our countywide brochure.
Yep.
With the addition of Dakin's and some other parts, we need to get that up. That's that 3,000.
Postage. I love postage. It's my second favorite behind office supplies.
Communication is not my favorite. You see what we did. We went from 12,000 last year's budget, reestimated to 21,000, and then for 16, we're at 28,000.
Yeah.
At this point in time, in the FY15 budget, IT is paying the
right
$2,000 a month
right
for the connectivity.
Right.
This 28,000 reflects conservation.
Right. Picking that up. Yeah, I mean right. That one on all of our budgets. That's yeah. It looks terrible for you guys. It ends up being almost a wash for the county. All said and done, right? Coming out of IT and
right. Just reflecting where and how it's utilized in each department.
You got a better phone system now than you did, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys had one line out there, didn't you?
Well, no. We had several lines, but it just works a lot easier.
Good.
Nicer voicemail. And
the other addition on this line is when we were going through the phone system, adding the phone system, We don't have Ethernet cabling over to the multipurpose room, and so we can't have a phone over there right now with this system. We looked at it at the time; it was going to be $2,000 just to run the cable, and we thought that was absurd. And we had this conversation at the conservation board. Also, if there's a way we can get it done cheaper, we will. At the moment, we're borrowing a cable from IT, plugging it into a workstation
and running the cable.
When we have an event in the multipurpose room that needs it, and then run the cable all the way through the building.
Right.
Multipurpose room.
Right. And I asked Mike to work with Barb on this, and she's felt that we needed to plug this in this year's budget.
Yep.
Education and training, if that's all on communications.
Yep.
Again, we have a higher re-estimated this year due to the academy. Mm-hmm. Got one employee that just started at the academy in just a week ago, and they'll graduate in April. So that's academy tuition expenses.
Do you have something in your hiring contract with them that if they leave in a certain amount of time?
Right.
Correct.
Yep.
Thank you.
We have a contract with all of our rangers.
Okay.
Yep. We've used it in the past.
The next one, education and training, training for obtaining Class A CDLs. I need to explain that. I'll explain this now. You'll see it reflected later on in equipment.
Okay.
We have equipment that we are hauling outside of load limits on our other equipment. So we're hauling equipment that we have two pieces of equipment, a forestry mower and then a tractor, that we don't have a trailer rated enough to haul that.
Okay.
And there's a ripple effect here. We also don't have a truck large enough to haul that equipment. And then we don't have the licensing to support our staff pulling, hauling that equipment.
If we had the right trailer.
Correct.
Okay.
So what you'll see here, this is training to get staff the Class A's that they need to haul that equipment.
Okay. So that's how it goes from the 77, even though we're up to 15 for this year, it goes from the 77 to the 89 based on that 1,000 for the, yeah. Okay.
Questions on utilities? Oh, this does show a full, yes, that's right. Thank you, Jolene. It does show a full year of utilities at Dakin's.
Okay. Okay. The nine one at the bottom, you mean? Okay.
And then the water and sewer.
And the water and sewer. Gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
All right, so now we're on ground maintenance, is that right? We really going to battle the Emerald Ash Borer? I mean, are we really going to try to fight him off?
No.
Okay.
Not, but we may have a few trees that we're going to protect.
Okay.
We need to develop a plan. We're working with ISU to help us develop a plan primarily for the Hickory Campground. We've got more than 80 ash trees in the campground. That's significant.
That is significant.
And so you'll see, I guess further on in this line, item number 7, Emerald Ash Borer plans. Now that's not really developing the plan itself, but implementing whatever needs to be done. And you see in parentheses, treatment, replacement, removal. Treatment costs, if we were going to do that, $300 a tree, and it's every other year.
Right.
If we were going to do that. I'm suggesting that we do very few treatments.
Right.
We may treat some trees in order to buy time to get a succession plan in.
And that's what I'm asking you, because that's what makes the most sense to me, is recognize where those key ash trees are that we need to have something and go ahead. And even if we spend the money to put a little more mature tree in, that will fill that need.
Exactly. So that's that 75.
Okay.
We cover those added expenses of removal, transplanting, or planting trees, and then treatment if necessary.
And how long, so this is 75 for this year, how many year process do you see this being to try to take care of? Some of them, Mike, we can just let go, right? Some of them are just going to go and they can be gone. So of the 80 that you describe over there, you don't need to replace all of those, do you?
I would say we're going to replace the vast majority of those in the campground. Now, the ash trees and the rest of our 3,400 acres, no, but if they're going to be in use areas where they're going to become hazard trees, mm-hmm. we need to address it. We need to take them out.
Okay.
So that's what that represents.
Well, now the other part to that is, as I understand it, is if we go ahead and take the ones that are the most susceptible out, we can slow down the progression. Is that right or wrong? I mean, is it important that you target a few and get them out just to buy some more time?
I don't think
once they're here, they're here.
Works that way, if you will. It takes 5 to 7 years before it's even noticeable in a tree. So I'm sure that the county has more EAB infestation than just Story City.
Sure.
Which is the only ones that have been
noticed, yeah.
But no, I would say to answer your question about how long that was going to take, it's going to be a multi-year process.
So when you take out the trees, do you examine each one, or do you just remove it and, I mean, do you actually inspect it for infestation?
Yes, we will. Yep. So you debark it and you look for the bore tunnels and the shape of the hole and et cetera, characteristic to that specific bore.
So what are you going to replace them with?
Oh, we haven't developed that yet. That's one of the things that ISU is doing for us.
Whatever we do, Lucy, that will be the next infestation or disease.
Right, yeah. That's
absolutely.
What I'm
just count on it. Absolutely.
So maybe some Dutch elms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got one Dutch elm left.
That was the question I had on grounds maintenance. You got any other places that you want to point out there?
Got 10,000 right below it. That's for surface materials in Iowa. We haven't budgeted for that before. We lose surface
we
material
lose
every year.
Every year. Mm-hmm.
And we need to keep up with it at the very least.
That is such a key component to our trail system and what we hope to do with our trail system that we need to keep that in the right kind of shape.
Any other questions on that line? I won't explain things if you guys don't need explanation.
No, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job.
Next one for me, I was down. I skipped the next two, and I went to contract labor, where you told me we were saving 10. I think you told me we were saving 10 out of there. So talk me through why I only see that we're saving 4 out of there.
Oh, sure. If you look at the CCI line,
yep.
That line last year was 14,000.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the CCI 46. Was 14, and now it's 46.
Yep.
But we've increased other places, clearly.
What we've done is increased at Dakins. This is a campground host. This is a new 7,200.
Okay, that helps me.
For host there and for the full year.
Yep.
And let's see. And then the 500 is new on the bottom, that prison crew. To assist with natural resource work. That's just a few days for a crew.
Okay. I'll be interested to hear how it goes.
Yeah, we didn't put a lot in here, but we thought, well, let's see how effective this is.
Okay, that helps me. Now you get to talk to us about the truck and the trailer.
The truck and the trailer.
Let's see if I can explain this well.
I thought you did already.
Item number 4. That's a new trailer that will haul those pieces of equipment. Now we looked at we've got a dump truck and we considered, well, do we just get a pendle hitch trailer and use our dump truck? Well, then the equipment we have is used on different sides of the county and sometimes simultaneously. That doesn't make a lot of sense. A lot of our parking lots are too small that we can't get a dump truck and with a pendle hitch trailer in there. So we ended up going with this plan, and so that's a trailer that will haul that equipment. Down below, item number 10
mm-hmm.
is a truck that will pull that trailer, because we don't have a truck in our fleet that will pull that trailer.
But we've got to have the Class A CDL to be able to drive
that truck. That's a 2.5-ton truck.
Okay.
1,000-pound trailer. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We went round and round and chatted with DOT on numerous occasions trying to get all of this figured out. The fact of the matter is, DOT is probably not going to write us a ticket.
Right. We need to do it the right way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Some of those little guys that like to pull trucks over every so often to get their quota might be the one to pull you over.
How many gooseneck trailers do you have?
One on each side.
One.
Because you bought one this year.
We haven't bought it yet.
Yeah.
We're waiting. See, we were going to replace one at Hickory. We haven't bought it yet because we realized we have these problems. It would have been a smaller trailer. And so we set these this is a chain event, chain of events here. If we accept this plan and this gets included in the budget, then I'll buy a larger trailer there and then immediately buy this truck in July that can haul that trailer. Does that make sense?
So then this truck's primary purpose will be to haul the two trailers, the one you're going to buy there and the one you're asking for here. Why can't we use, and I understand it's different size of the county, and I don't understand how much we have to haul this equipment. Is it not possible to have one trailer that can do both and know that it's running back and forth?
You know, it's difficult because a lot of times that they're being used at the same time.
Right, but you only got one truck to pull.
Well, the plan would be then our next truck replacement would also be another larger truck. So next year's request would then have another larger truck.
But it makes sense to me, and just talk me through why this doesn't make sense. It makes sense to me that we would tie the purchase of the trailer to the purchase of a truck that could pull it. And then if we have enough trucks, we start flipping back and forth. But buying the trailer before you have a truck that can pull it?
Well, you're only talking about a few months, though, aren't you?
Right.
Difference.
We would do the same thing in 16-17 that we would theoretically do in 15-16.
So you're buying the trailer out of 15, the truck immediately in 16, but we're budgeting for a new trailer in 16 that you're not going to buy till late 16 and then buy a truck hopefully in 17.
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you repeat that?
No, just kidding.
Okay. Yeah. There's a method to his madness.
We had to up the ante. I mean, we weren't hauling stuff correctly, so.
Hey, I'm all in. I just don't see the logic, and it makes sense if it's all a timing issue and trying to spread out the expenditures from budget year to budget year. That's great. I am the king of trying to spread out expenditures from budget year to budget year. I just could not picture if the rationale between having two trailers was different places, but you had one truck who was only capable of hauling each trailer. I couldn't get there.
Right.
Okay. But if you're telling me this is the way it goes, so we're budgeting the 10 for trailer replacement for a gooseneck trailer, but we're not really buying that until after we get to this point next year. You just want it in next year's budget so that you get that, have it ready, so that hopefully you can talk us into another big truck replacement.
Correct.
That next year. Okay. You got all that?
I'm good.
All right. I see you lean back in your chair.
I'm all with it.
I struggle with it. You good, Wayne?
Yep.
All right. Move on.
The only other thing on equipment and machinery I want to ask that question is this discussion of water quality monitoring equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. You don't really need that. That little
I was surprised. So this is the same conversation that we thought we were going to have the other day that we didn't have?
Correct.
Yeah. Why didn't we have it the other day? It wasn't you. It was.
Well, that was for the
Irv and Chumlin were here.
Yeah, through the.
But isn't that who's requesting it? Or
well, no, it's part of the grant. It's going to be
working with Prairie Rivers.
Okay.
To apply for a water quality initiative grant, WQI grant, through IDOLS to address conservation practices. Well, a watershed coordinator and outreach plan, and then conservation practices for both Squaw Creek and East Indian Creek, which Hickory is a part of.
Right.
And so, part of that plan, scope of work would be to put water quality monitors in, instruments in. And so that, you know, I know Penny has talked to you about county funding one or two. I've heard both.
Well, they want two. And my suggestion at our last watershed meeting was that it's a discussion that the county needs to have along with the city of Ames. Because part of the skin in the grant is some sort of a contribution or an in-kind from the county.
Right.
And at that time, what Penny had told me was that these devices, she thought, were about $10,000 a piece. And there is currently no device for the East Indian Creek. And there's no research or anything that's ever been done.
Correct.
In the East Indian Creek. And the watershed coordinator they talk about hiring would be split between the Hickory Grove watershed and Squaw Creek.
Okay.
So that's where the idea of, you know, one thing that the county or the city or and the city of Ames could do would be to purchase one of these water.
Well, longer term to me, with what's going on between the city of Des Moines Water Works and a couple counties right now, it makes a lot of sense to me that we need to have some kind of idea of what water looks like when it gets to Story County and what it looks like when it leaves Story County, because these lawsuits, I mean, if they get going, they're going to go. Everybody's going to be suing everybody. Upstream, you're suing everybody upstream. And so I think it makes perfect sense for us to have a plan to move to a system where we have some kind of understanding of what's going on in Story County, rather than just what we have in Story County, because everybody's going to point to everybody else, right? I want to know what's going on in Story County.
Well, and I think this is a step toward that.
Right.
What I would recommend is a monitor somewhere near the mouth of East Indian, just upstream of probably the confluence with West Indian,
yep,
which is north of Maxwell. And to put that monitor there. We've had some meetings with Heartland Co-op. I've got a meeting with soybean growers, corn growers, ISU. There have been several people involved, IDOLs, and it seems like there's a lot of energy going toward this project now, this kind of scope of work with the two watersheds. So I think it's being really productive.
Okay, good.
And I think that if you guys can afford to do that, then that would definitely help this grant.
Well, and I think it's consistent with what we've done over the past 2 years, where we've elected to fund part of this septic system replacement. I mean, we put the funds in Margaret's budget last year to do that. So I think that it shows that the county's got, you know, trying to show that they've got some skin in the game, and we're
So. I thought Penny told me 15.
Well, yeah, the last I've heard, no.
So it's 1 or 2, it's 10 or 10, 15. 10. Sure. That's the Lisa budget all that.
It
for
was
us.
10.
I heard, any number.
I heard you say 10.
Yeah, the last number I heard was 15,000.
And help me, where is that in this budget?
We didn't show
it's
it.
Not. Okay. It's not shown.
I asked Paul earlier if that's the case, do you want us to show
right,
it?
Right. I think this makes the most sense for that.
Then conservation would own it or use by whoever you deem is appropriate to use it. And so once it's in East Indian Creek, does it just have to stay there? I mean, clearly it has to stay there long enough for us to.
Yeah.
But it makes the most sense to me for you to, for conservation to own it.
Yeah.
So instead of 74.4, let's go to 84.4.
We've saved almost that much money in fuel, so.
Almost.
It's a wash.
Nothing's ever a wash, Paul.
So where would you show it?
I'm gonna put it under equipment and machinery. Is that right? And take that from 74.4 to 84.4.
Okay.
That's our first increase of the day, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Good. I like that.
84.4, and that's for.
And you just let us know if.
And we call that the monitoring system, right?
Yeah. Let us know if it's. I mean, we understand that 10's the swag number. Just let us know what that cost.
Okay.
Any questions on the rest of, conservation land acquisition?
Need to get more land.
That's the sewer project that you'll see in there at 262.
Come on, conservation acquisition, fund 68,000.
Yep.
Central Iowa Water is still very interested in being able to construct that this season.
Sure.
And Lisa, I took that out of the re-estimate, so if we need to put that back in, is that an issue?
Well, you've got 284,615 budgeted, so.
Okay. But the re-estimate total, I had taken the sewer out because I didn't think we were going to do it. Now it looks like we
now might. It looks okay. So you want to add it back?
Just put it back in. Let's leave that at 284,615, and then we'll see where we end up. Yeah, the only other thing I've got that we should talk about is process for consideration of the research park. What I've told these guys from my perspective, that is going to be a conversation very similar to the conversation we had about Dakin's Lake. It was not an upfront budget issue. It was its own conversation. That's what I expect is going to happen with the research park. I expect that we're going to need to get moving on that sooner rather than later, having that conversation. I know you're starting to get some numbers in. They blew my hair back a little bit, the first numbers I saw from you. But I want us to have a similar conversation to what we have with Dakin's Lake, if that's acceptable to you for that project.
So my goal at the moment, first off, just for the purpose of updating you on the progress there, Jessica's reviewing the agreement right now.
Right.
And so that's moving forward. Those cost opinions, I'm going to say we're at 90% on those. But I think you've probably looking at the capital one there in front of you. I'm 90% toward the operating one.
Okay.
And I haven't shared that yet.
Okay.
My goal is to bring all of this in front of the Conservation Board.
Yeah. As I told him, it was just informational only at this stage.
And right.
Just trying to
and
give us
so what the conversation I'd love for you to have, and I'm sure you will have with the Conservation Board, but I'm going to want to understand any of the cost share items with DOT. Because clearly the number, just on the capital side, you and I have never talked about the operation side other than to say I fully recognize that there's an increase in operations if we go forward with this project. On the capital side, clearly we're substantially more than any of the numbers that we had been kicking around. And so I'm going to understand how much substantially more we really are and where the money's coming from and how it's all working. But let's follow the same process that we followed with Dakin's Lake. Wayne, anything else?
Nope.
Paul, anything else?
I'm good.
You, Mike, anything else we need to talk about?
You want to chat about other capital?
You want to give me some?
Want us to?
Well, you're talking about the watershed improvement, right?
Page 99 is the narrative, more or less, or the breakdown.
I'm up on 92.
Yeah, 99.
Okay, go.
All right, first off, bullet number one there is not new, as far as not new to you.
Right.
We've been holding off on this, wondering if we could fit it into the Dakin's Lake project, funding-wise, and we may still be able to do that. We're getting fairly close. There's still some unknowns with some of our owner-provided items that we know we're going to need to spend. We have exhausted the HIP funding.
Okay. And that was the key to me. So when I was talking about this being incorporated into that project, the key to me was making sure that we utilized that TIF funding that we had approved fully for that project, and I considered this kind of that last piece of the project. If the TIF funding is already fully utilized, then it makes then it doesn't matter as much to me whether it rolls into the budget or not.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, hopefully I was clear on what I was asking for there. So
that's the 60 then. That's okay. Not construction. That's design.
Okay.
And then number two is shower house replacement at Hickory Grove.
Haven't we been talking about this?
For the last
time.
Yeah.
We know we've had a prescribed chain of events that has to happen before we do this. The first is sewer.
Right.
Once that's done, then we can move forward in making some of these other infrastructure repairs or improvements. This is the first one in the queue. This is replacing that shower building and putting a storm shelter in at the same time.
Right, but is it reasonable to get this done in FY16? With the sewer replacement coming, I'm just looking at timing. And I saw the $500,000 there, and I said, it's something we've been talking about.
Here's one thing we could do. Can we get it constructed? If we go with more kind of a prefab, pre-engineered, prefab-type building, then I think it's possible to start construction in 16.
Okay.
Yet in FY16.
Right.
At the very least, I see that we would move forward with some preliminary engineering in this fiscal year. So there's a couple, I think I would be okay with as long as we had some funding available to start to develop that building plan.
And that's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Is can we take 80% of this out, put $100,000 in, and say that is for preliminary engineering and mobilization to start the building then in FY17?
I would be okay with that if it was determined through that process that we thought we could build sooner, then I would anticipate coming back with a request for that.
And then that's just absolutely, but then that's just going to be about available funding. That's why we count on Lisa to be able to tell us, okay, Lisa, what do we have? Where do we have it? And what needs to be done with it? We have that conversation every spring. So I don't know that we could make any kind of guarantee to that if we only plugged 100 into this budget. It would depend on where we were. Not just you. I'm saying we larger. I mean, what fund is this? This is straight out of general, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is straight out of general. So it's going to depend on where our general sits as we project it out. But I think it's a more reasonable time frame if we say we're really not going to get this thing done. We're not going to be able to spend those dollars in 16. So then we're putting it in, but really we're putting it in with the idea that we're going to roll most of it into 17 anyway. Let's just go ahead and do it that way. Let's have 100 in and know that we're going to – by then you're going to have more hard cost anyway.
Right.
Depending on what – especially if we can go with the pre-engineered. Some of the things that right. we found out legally of what's – we don't have the same requirements on architectural fees and things like that if it's a pre-engineered building.
So we would be reducing the five, you know.
To 100 is what I'm suggesting, if that's enough to do the preliminary planning, engineering.
I'm just wondering if it shouldn't be at least 150, just to give you that cushion there.
How much is needed to do what you need to do there?
100 ought to do it.
Think so? Okay. Let's do it.
Ball was already done. We're still saving $400,000.
Well, you know, that was the big thing. I was trying to figure out how to whittle that down because there was about a 480 difference between last year and this year. But I had good justification for why they was there.
Yep.
When you look at all the new things we've taken on that had to be paid for.
I have a corrected estimated expense for FY15 on that line should be 175
instead of the
73.2.
175.
I took 1800 away twice for the electricity.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions? Anything else we need to talk about, Mike? All right, with the
– this is your chance to get away clean. So
one addition and the subtractions, where do we end up there, Lisa?
I'm taking 398,200 away at the bottom line.
Okay.
398,200, okay.
And the bottom line is variable anyway because of salaries.
Correct. Yeah. Wait a minute. So 398. That doesn't sound right to me. Didn't we?
400,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Added 10,000.
Right.
Yep.
Subtracted 7,200.
Right.
Subtracted 1,000.
Okay. Very good.
What's the total?
Oh, 2,521,680.
2,521,680.
Knowing that that could go down or up, so the down part of that will be when we get to the point that we're we know what our number is that we're going to budget for actual salaries, right. what our projection for actual salaries is, which is different from approved.
And the adjustments
and
for
the probable increase in benefits.
Yep.
Good?
Good.
Call us adjourned.
Well,
thank you.
Didn't you learn something
by
coming here?